Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on The Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 10:05 on The Fan in a very good Monday morning to you. The midday show. Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here till 1 o'clock, CMB will come your way. Doug Kramer, Ernie Acosta. On the other side of the glass, a very, very interesting football weekend. What do you want to start with? We'll start with the Giants from yesterday. You want to go there first?
It was like we were watching the Giants in September and October all over again. In every aspect. The offense stunk.
Yep.
The offensive line was terrible. Their defense couldn't make a freaking tackle. They could not tackle in this game. I know they only gave up 17 points, Joe, but missed tackles did they have?
Well, Derrick Henry, I mean, the Titans went in there and just smacked them in the mouth. I mean, that's basically what Tennessee did.
No doubt.
They went in there, they ran the ball down the Giants' throats all day. Derrick Henry had a monster game. Deion Lewis even had some big moments when they gave a little break to Henry in the second half. And the Giants went out there. Two huge turnovers, obviously, that really hurt him, especially the fumble by Eli. I don't know what he was doing
on
that
fumble. What the hell was he doing?
Looked like he was trying, like Brandon Marshall giving the ball to the Eagles.
Or like Jared Goff yesterday.
Right. Not right. I mean,
except Jared Goff's only been in the league for 30 seconds. Eli Manning's been in the league for 30 years.
Yeah, well, he, you know, two huge turnovers and, yeah, a lot of penalties. Let's not forget them. How many penalties the Giants had in this game yesterday? And they just basically got smacked in the mouth on a rainy day at the Meadowlands where Mariota threw for 88 yards.
Yeah. And the other thing about Marcus Mariota that he didn't do.
Turn it over.
He didn't turn the ball over. Yep. And he never really beat the Giants with his legs because he didn't have to.
He didn't have to. No.
You know, Carl was talking about it on Friday. How many times Marcus Mariota on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10 can scramble for a first down. He didn't do it one time in this game.
Nope.
Into it one time. I think he only ran once on third down. It was a design run on that 3rd and goal in which the Giants actually stopped him, and then Derrick Henry punched it in on the very next play. So Marcus Mariota didn't beat him.
He had a big penalty there, too, on Morrow to give him a first down on that face mask penalty.
That's right. That's right. After it looked like he made a nice play on it, and then you see he had a big chunk of the face mask.
Yep.
It was like going into a time machine and watching the same garbage we saw the first 2.5 months of the year, and then the same thing after the game. Pat Shermer being ultra defensive. You know, every question is like an assault on his character or his coaching. The quarterback was miserable, but I'm sure there are excuses for why he was miserable.
Well,
it was the same old that I think we thought maybe the Giants were past after the bye week.
Well, I think the big key to the game was, beside the fact that the Titans just dominated the football and just had the ball seemingly the entire game, let's be honest about it, was they shut down Barkley. There was no Beckham in the game. Beckham's out. And the game plan by the Tennessee defense was obviously we are not allowing Saquon Barkley to beat us. And they just – he was a complete non-factor in the football game.
How many times did he get hit for a loss in this game?
He had that one for about 10 or 12 yards.
Yeah.
He had a few big losses. He did a few big ones.
And that's on the offensive line, which did a terrible job blocking up front. All the progress we've seen from the offensive line sort of went backwards. I think they also got away from the run. Even though they weren't able to get anything going and have any sustained success running the football, which, of course, would be the first one to admit, outside of one run Barkley had for 17 yards, he did nothing on the ground.
Right.
They still, to me,
there was one he had a nice run on. They called back for a holding penalty, too.
But what else is new?
Right.
Like
no question.
The penalties were killing them. They were called for 10 in this game.
Yep.
But they still got away from it because their only way of having success in this game was going to be able to run the football. They certainly missed Odell Beckham Jr. You know, Eli Manning throwing the ball to Evan Ingram and Benny Fowler and, you know, well, Sterling Shepard.
They dropped
and
a ton of passes on him, too. Especially Benny Fowler had a huge drop where he's wide open on what would have been a third down conversion. I mean, that was maybe the biggest drop that there was by the Giants yesterday.
And you're right. There were a lot of drops in this game. Saquon had another drop. That's why it wasn't just the quarterback. It wasn't just the offensive line. It was everybody. Everybody stunk offensively. That's what happens when you get shut out, which is tough to do in this modern NFL, even though the Cowboys did it too.
Yeah, well, somehow. It was not a good day for NFC East teams against AFC South teams.
Right.
As neither of them scored a point in losses.
Well, what about the Washington Redskins? Yeah, well, what, are you just ignoring their existence?
No, but I'm saying, but I mean, you know, that's true. They did win. They were playing the 4-10 Jaguars.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Which Josh Johnson at quarterback. I know. And is still in the mix. I mean,
of
think about
they
that.
Are.
Think about how the Redskins, who now have a big game against the Titans, that's a big game on Saturday now.
Damn
coming
right
up.
It is.
You know, how about that?
Well, this weekend in many ways showed you how nothing makes sense in the NFL. And that's part of why the NFL is so awesome. That none of this makes sense. And you hit it on the head, I think it was Thursday or Friday, when the news started to trickle out about the quarterback, Carson Wentz. You said, ah, here we go. Nick Foles going to go on another run.
Yeah.
And away we go.
The Rams turned it over like 30 times in this game.
Well, yeah. You know what the Rams did yesterday? They played stupid.
Yeah.
They played very stupid football. How about Todd Gurley, who I love, who usually plays smart? Hey, Todd, get out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you get out of bounds, the clock stops. How about our old buddy? Do you remember once a Jet, always a Jet? J.J. Natson? JoJo Natson? What's his name?
Yeah, whatever. He wasn't JoJo. Around, he wasn't around too long, JoJo.
No.
I'll say that.
You know why? Because of what he did last night. Because
no,
he can't hold on to a punt.
Right. Well,
I mean, he's fumbling punt returns.
That was the most skewed line. I don't know what the game went off at. I know it was. I think we had it at 11.5. It might have went off at 13. That
13.
Was, and I think this too. Look, the Rams have the division wrapped up already. Now they don't have home field advantage by any means wrapped up. But you know, you wonder how mentally into the game they were. That's another thing.
Well, they
you never know.
They haven't played well in a few weeks now.
No, they lost two in a row.
It's just a reminder. I mean, you look around.
And you're
the
a bad bet, man. Now you got to feel a lot better. You got to feel pretty good about that.
I got a
that.
Long way to go,
you
Joe.
You do, but you wrapped up the division already,
yep.
And the Rams are coming back to the pack a little
bit. Well, I would feel a lot better if somehow this Ram team can continue their mini-collapse by somehow losing Arizona
they tie with the
next
Bears.
Week.
The Bears got the tiebreaker
Yes,
on.
But that means the Rams have to lose either in Arizona or home against the Niners. Now, you tell me. You think that's happening?
Well, I think the Niners will give them a game. I'll say that. They won't lose to the Cardinals, but I think the Niners, with the way they're playing right now, I mean, they won a couple games in a row. They look like a team that's got life.
Hey.
Will at least give them a game.
There's a double bonus, a huge monumental double bonus if the Arizona Cardinals can beat the L.A. Rams. Not only does it help my Chicago Bears get a first-round
bye.
Well,
it helps the Jets.
It helps the Jets.
Right. I don't see Arizona.
Move up in the draft.
I don't know if Arizona's winning another game.
No, they're not.
You know,
I don't think they are.
The Jets will not be ahead of them as far as the Jets.
No, but this was an interesting weekend. It buried the Giant hopes. You know, we sat here last week going through the scenarios.
Let's be honest, which were basically a shot in the dark anyway. Let's be real.
And the truth was the biggest shot in the dark was themselves.
Right, winning three games. And the schedule, let's be honest with this, too. Tennessee, the Colts, and the Cowboys, this isn't exactly a layup three games.
No, not at all. And that's why that's why I thought it was going to be the most difficult part of putting everything together for them to make the playoffs. But I think if you're a Giant fan, you look at the performance against Tennessee, and you take a step back and say, all right, what is this team? You know, what am I supposed to think going into next year? Because I think when they beat the Niners and they beat Tampa and they blew the game against Philly, but then they beat Chicago and they destroy the Redskins, and here they are 4-1 after the bye. The quarterback's playing well. Saquon's a monster. They scored 40 without Odell. The offensive line looks better. I mean, you even heard from Dottino on Thursday, there was hope that you're building something towards next year. I think you got to take a step back and say, okay, building what? I mean, building what? Is this offensive line not needing more improvements? Because it still does. I don't know how good Jamon Brown is.
And how good's the defense? I mean, the defense to me is average at best, if you want to say that.
Yeah, but I think we always knew that the defense were going to need improvements. I look at the offense and say, well, what about them? Because the quarterback's a big question.
Well, and I think he's coming back.
Do you?
I do, because certainly his replacement is not on his team right now.
No, well, it's not Kyle Laletta who got pummeled back
right,
to not even being active.
Right. And obviously the other guy, he isn't going to be the guy.
So Alex Tenney?
Yeah. So, I mean, unless they draft somebody in the first round, and even if they do, I don't think that guy would be starting right away. You know, I think Manning's going to be there.
It's funny. I rarely these days watch the pregame shows, and it's not anything personal towards Fox or CBS or NFL Network. It's just that it's a long day of football, and to spend any more time in front of a TV is a lot.
I don't watch any of that.
But I was setting up my setup for a football Sunday, getting the TVs ready, and I heard what was probably the most newsworthy thing of the pregame shows, and that's Phil Sims saying,
"Oh yeah, I read that. Yeah,
Manning's back. Even read it. So something Manning, in the pregame show
he said
became
Manning
news.
Would be there for another 2 years. Didn't Phil say that?
Yes. And I started to think as he said it, because you're right. What you've said over the last week is, I think the Giants are going to bring him back. And certainly the indications were there. They've 4-1. He was playing fine. The offensive line's better. The alternatives aren't great. Why the heck not? But I think a performance like yesterday almost reminds you that maybe that's not the best idea. And maybe it does go back to just ripping the Band-Aid off and moving on.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the big keys to yesterday is they couldn't run the ball. They took Barkley out of the game, and they weren't able to run the ball. Now, Ingram had a pretty decent game, and I think but that's it. I mean, and I think that's a big part of it.
That's not just it. That's a part of it.
But it's a big part of it.
Of course it is, but also turning the ball over is a big part of it.
Sure, but I think part of their problem, one of the reasons they've won a number of games recently is because Barkley's been terrific.
Of course. Look, if you're going to get 150 yards on the ground, the odds are you're going to win.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, I'm right.
And certainly Saquon Barkley being hit for loss after loss was a big part of this game. But you know what also was a big part of this game? Not getting points when you have the ball at the Tennessee 20-yard line. Committing a dumb penalty and then an even more dumb interception. And that's what happened.
It was
it's a
bad
7-0 game beginning of the second half, and those two things cost them points.
Yeah. I'm not exonerating Manning. I'm just saying that, you know, this was a group effort.
Of course it was.
First of all, the Titans are a better team.
Yeah.
And as I said, they went out there and basically just smacked the Giants in the mouth. That's what they did.
Look,
yesterday.
It's not as simple as saying it's on one thing. It's on everything. I completely agree with you. It is on the fact they stopped the run. It's also on the fact that they committed two really, really bad turnovers.
That
interception cannot happen.
Yep.
It can't. And the penalty can't happen.
Yep.
Because instead of it being 3rd and 10, which feels more reasonable, it's 3rd and 20 because of the Mihalik illegal hands to the face. So it's a combination. That's not just Eli.
No, of course.
It's the penalty on the offensive line. But then Eli throwing a bad interception. And then when the defense makes a stop and you get the football back, Red Ellison drops an easy pass. That's a bad thing. And then Eli, I don't know what the hell he's doing, just loses the football.
Yeah, I didn't get that. He should have just took the sack. He had no chance on that play. Just go down. I mean, there was nothing else he could do there. Go down.
That's a bad play.
That was the play.
And what that does is not only are you losing the football, you're giving the ball to the Tennessee Titans at the 14-yard line in a 7-0 game, in which the 7-0 game feels like a 30-0 game because you can't move the ball offensively.
Well, once they scored that second touchdown, they were never coming back.
Right.
Were never coming back.
And the best-case scenario when you give them the ball at the 14 is to hold them to 3. It's still a 2-possession game. It's still a 10-0 game, which would feel like a mile and a half considering how bad the offense was.
Yeah.
The quarterback played terribly. The offensive line played terribly.
Yep.
The receivers were awful.
Yeah.
They couldn't get the run game going. It was just bad all the way around. But I guess I just wonder, what the heck's going to change next year?
Yeah. I don't know. All I can say is, and I think
they have to change something?
Well, the change is that every year is a new year. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe they make a move. Maybe they're bringing in another guy on the offensive line that kind of really changes things on the offensive line. I think they need more. I don't know. What's the deal with Beckham? He gets hurt a lot. As good as Beckham is, I mean, he misses games every year.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
He's always hurt. And I think they need some more weapons. I don't know these other guys, Sterling Shepard, Ingram. I think they need more guys.
They need a lot. They need help
they
on
do.
The offensive line.
And they need
line.
Help defensively.
They need that. Well, yeah, no doubt about that.
You know, come on.
I know they only gave up 17 points, but they missed so many tackles in this game.
It was a joke how many tackles they missed.
The penalties were
Bruce
brutal.
Arians couldn't have said it enough yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
How many tackles they missed.
Yeah, he was spot on.
Yep.
But I know you look at the other options at quarterback and they're not appealing. I just don't know if we're all going to go through this again.
Yeah.
It's not that Eli Manning is their problem. I think that's an overstatement, but he's also not a problem. You know what I mean? It's a little bit in the middle. And I think, unfortunately, when you have these debates in the world and in sports, everyone's got to pick a dramatic side. It's not a dramatic side. It's a little bit of both. He's not great, but he's not the only problem.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It's somewhere in the middle.
And but I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to? You think they're going to go out and trade for like a stopgap quarterback?
Well, there's two things. You're asking, what do I think they're going to do, and what should they do? Yeah. There's two very different things.
I don't think they're going to replace Manning.
Well, that's what you think they're going to do. What would you do?
I think what I would do if I'm the Giants is I well, first of all, I probably would have drafted a quarterback last year.
So you wouldn't draft back to say quarterback?
Probably not.
No. Nah.
As good as he is, probably not.
So Sam Darnold's their quarterback.
He probably would have been. Or one of them. Maybe they didn't like Darnold, but maybe they would have took Allen. Maybe they would have took Rosen. I don't know what they would have done. But they probably would have done that. They probably, you know, probably should have took the quarterback. But now going forward, I mean, there's really nobody great out there. Now you want to, you know, maybe trade for Teddy Bridgewater? Is Derek Carr going to be gone in Oakland? We think he is.
Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco's a guy that's
would you
out
bring
there?
Joe Flacco when he's 33 years yeah. old? It's almost – now, that's significantly younger than Eli.
I don't
Eli,
think you
could
bring Flacco in if you still got Manning there. You'd have
no,
to get
no,
Manning.
No,
Manning
no,
would
no,
have
no,
to go.
No.
If you're bringing Flacco in, Manning's got to be gone.
Well, Joe, I think if you're bringing in any veteran quarterback,
right,
Eli's not
right.
going to be around.
Right, right, right.
It's just that I think – and the NFL is such a week-to-week league. It's so week-to-week when it comes to playoff races. It's week-to-week yep. on how we feel about teams yep. going yep. to the playoffs.
Yep.
And it's also been week-to-week with this quarterback situation. It really has because 5 weeks ago, he was gone. Last week, it's a lock, he's coming back. And this week, you know where we are? We're in confusion yeah. territory. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do, but what they did this past year probably wasn't the right thing. Because as much as Carl says they weren't trying to win right now,
there's no
they
question.
Were trying
of
to win right
they
now.
Were. Of course.
Okay.
Of course they were.
And if they bring
That's
Eli,
not even a debate that
if,
they were.
If they bring Eli back again, they're trying to win
of
again.
Of course they are. No
you don't
doubt.
Bring back a 37 or 38-year-old quarterback if you're rebuilding.
The best scenario would be if they drafted a quarterback
yes.
and groomed, leave Eli there, and you bring this quarterback, whoever the replacement's going to be that you really believe is going to be the replacement,
yep.
and you kind of groom him, and when the time's right, you kind of do what you did with Kurt Warner and Eli, then you go to the other guy.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably the best scenario for the Giants, but is that quarterback out there in the draft? I don't know.
It's tough because I think that moving on from Eli Manning, if it isn't what you said, and that's drafting the next guy,
right,
is going to be really difficult. And what I mean by that is, let's say the Broncos move on from Case Keenum after one year.
I don't
year.
Love Case Keenum.
No,
man.
I don't either, Joe, but hear me out. Case Keenum's best success was with Pat Shurmur.
True.
Nick Foles' best success besides the Super Bowl run.
Which was pretty good.
I have to.
Don't forget that. Well, he's on his way already. Look out. Watch.
When I mean
I'm
best success, I only mean like individual success.
I love the Eagles the rest of the way.
I know you do. Problem is you need the Vikings to get picked off.
Well, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm just saying I could see the Eagles finishing without losing again.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Oh, I could see that
You know
happening.
Who would love that? The Patriots.
Yeah, no.
Because
yeah.
that means the Patriots likely get back their first round bye. Because. Yeah. The Eagles play the Texans.
Yeah. Oh, is that? Oh, yeah, this week. That's right.
That's right.
That's a tough game. Yeah, that's probably going to happen, too. I like the Eagles already in that game.
But if you bring in a stopgap veteran, whether it's Case Keenum or Nick Foles or whoever it is,
right.
not
right.
Derek Carr, because I think Derek Carr isn't a stopgap veteran.
No.
I think he's...
He would be the guy.
He's the guy.
Right.
It is a very difficult sell to Giant fans, even if that guy gives them a better chance in the short term because, well, it's Eli Manning. He's a Hall of Famer. He's won two championships. And I think that's what's going to make this very difficult. The Band-Aid is difficult to rip off.
It is.
Because the name Case Keenum, you know, gets you to shudder a little bit. Like, Case
yeah.
Keenum,
yeah.
really?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
He didn't look so good on Sunday on a Saturday night.
Yeah, he doesn't have Pat Shurmur running his offense.
No.
I mean, in fairness, his best success.
Doesn't have a lot of weapons there either. I mean, outside of Lindsey, they don't have much, no. especially with Sanders out.
And after they traded Demaryius Thomas and Sanders out, like you mentioned, and Cortland Sutton hasn't taken off the way they'd hoped.
Right.
While in Minnesota, he did have weapons.
He did.
Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And he would have weapons with the Giants. But that's a tough sell. You know what I'm saying? Like, making a move like that
is going
to be very difficult to convince Giant fans, right or wrong, that that's who they're moving on from Eli Manning for. Your idea.
That's the perfect scenario. But who is that quarterback out there that you would be you're going to draft in the first round?
Well, and also,
who's that guy?
A, who's the guy? Justin Herbert may not come out.
Yeah.
Is Dwayne Haskins the guy?
I don't know. Is he coming out?
I don't
know if he is.
We don't know about either. And if you're trading up from where the Giants are probably going to pick, it is going to cost a lot.
Yeah.
We went through this last year. We're talking about the Jets. Moving up in the draft to get a quarterback usually costs you a future first.
Yeah.
That's a lot to give up.
You're looking like around 10 right now for them to pick, right? Isn't that kind of where they would be?
That's the range that they're in right now. Yeah. And that can change, obviously, depending on what happens the rest of the way.
I mean, it's certainly very realistic the Giants will not win again this year. I mean, the Colts are playing for something and they're playing well. And then you got to play the Cowboys, who might be playing for the division title that game.
The Giants right now are tied with Atlanta, Detroit, Tampa, and Buffalo all at 5-9.
Right,
and they're exactly in the middle. That's why they're picking eighth. If they win a game, or dare I say two, Joe, they could pick 12th. Yeah. That's how far they could go.
They're not going to win both games.
They just were 4-1 until last week.
I don't see it, man.
All right.
I know they beat the Bears. I get it. And Philly is a good team. But, you know, it was the Niners. It was Tampa Bay. You know, it was a depleted Redskin team. You know, let's keep that in mind. They're stepping up a little in class here now with these teams.
No, they are. But right now they're in that eighth spot in the draft.
Right.
And I think that's probably the best route to go. I think the smoothest transition is drafting a quarterback.
That's it.
Having a conversation with Eli saying, look, here's the deal.
Right.
You can come back and probably start right away. Probably.
And he would start the season.
But you're going to probably also be replaced at some point.
Unless somehow they're 7-1 or something like
right,
that.
Right.
That's a different story.
I mean, you can also, it's Kurt Warner all over again.
Right.
And then if Eli says, I'd rather not, I think you got yourself a clean break. If Eli says, I'm all in, I think that makes him look good. Makes him look like, I'm willing to be a part of the transition.
Exactly.
I just think, and I'm not talking from a football standpoint. I'm just talking from a PR standpoint. Moving on with a Case Keenum-like guy would be it'd be a tough sell.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Case Keenum, to me, is just, he had one big year where everything kind of went his way, you know, had one of those kind of years, and he's just not any good. I don't think he's any good at all. He's a good backup quarterback. That's what he is.
So you don't buy the magic of him and Shermer?
No, I don't buy that. And I don't think any Giant fan would be buying it either.
No, I think it'd be a tough sell.
You know.
We'll get to your calls. The Jets from Saturday night, their situation, the latest on the playoff picture in the NFL. And at some point, we'll get to the fact that the Mets have addressed their catcher situation.
By the way, the Black Bear Studio, of course, is where we're coming from. Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses, only at the great ShopRite stores.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.